Devaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 5th chapter, text number 16. Loka swayam shreyasinas dadrishtir. Yortan samiheta nikamakama. Anyonya varai sukalesha hetor. Ananta dukam chana veda mudha. Loka swayam shreyasinas dadrishtir. Yortan samiheta nikamakama. Anyonya vara sukalesha hetor. Ananta dukam chana veda mudha. Loka swayam shreyasinas dadrishtir. Yortan samiheta nikamakama. Anyonya vara sukalesha hetor. Ananta dukam chana veda mudha. Ladies.
Your
Loka, people. Swayam, personally. Shreyasi, of the path of auspiciousness. Nastadrishti, who have lost sight. Ya, who? Artan, things meant for sense gratification. Samiheta, desire. Nikama kama, having too many lusty desires for sense gratification. Anyonyavara, being envious of one another. Sukaleshaheto, simply for temporary material happiness. Anantadukam, unlimited sufferings. Ja, also. Na, do not. Veda, no. Muda, foolish. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Due to ignorance, the materialistic person does not know anything about his real self-interest, the auspicious path in life. He is simply bound to material enjoyment by lusty desires, and all his plans are made for this purpose. For temporary sense gratification, such a person creates a society of envy, and due to this mentality, he plunges into the ocean of suffering. Such a foolish person does not even know about this purport. The word nastadrishti, meaning one who has no eyes to see the future, is very significant in this verse. Life goes on from one body to another, and the activities performed in this life are enjoyed or suffered in the next life, if not later in this life. One who is unintelligent, who has no eyes to see the future, simply creates enmity and fights with others for sense gratification. As a result, one suffers in the next life, but due to being like a blind man, he continues to act in such a way that he suffers unlimitedly. Such a person is a mudha, one who simply wastes his time and does not understand the Lord's devotional service. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, text 25, Naham prakasya sarvasya yogamaya samavrita mudoyam abhijanati lokomam ajamabhyayam. I am never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. For them I am covered by my eternal creative potency, yogamaya. And so the deluded world knows me not, who am unborn and infallible. In the Katha Upanishad it is also said, avidyayam antare vartamana Swayam dira panditam manyamana. Although ignorant, people still go to other blind men for leadership. As a result, both are subjected to miserable conditions. The blind lead the blind into the ditch. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminitha Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharne Nevashesha Sunyavadi Pastajadi Shatarne Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhuna Chananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaura Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So the question is, where did the fox go wrong? Where did the fox go wrong? Any takers? Well, we have to give you a little more background information. We're talking about that fox who was trying to get the grapes. Everybody remembers that fox? It was the fox, and he was trying to get the grapes. And he tried once, and he wasn't successful. And then he tried a second time, and he wasn't successful. They were up on the tree there, hanging from the vine. And he tried a third time, and he wasn't successful. And then he just concluded that, well, these grapes are just sour. Forget about it. And he just lived in frustration from that point. So where did the fox go wrong? Well, basically, his initial mistake was, it's a rhetorical question, sorry. He made a miscalculation. He miscalculated. You see, if he was just a little bit more intelligent, he would have realized those grapes are out of reach. They're out of reach. I'm a fox. I can only jump so high. Those grapes are way up there on that branch. That's about 2-3 feet out of my reach there. You know, I can't get those grapes. He miscalculated. See? He didn't understand. Tasheva heto prayateta kovido, nalabhyate yad brahmatam upariyada, talabhyate dukavat anyatasukam kalena sarvatra gambira ramasa. That he didn't understand basically that as far as happiness derived from sense gratification is concerned, it can be obtained automatically in course of time, just as in course of time we obtain miseries, even though we do not desire them. So that's Srimad Bhagavatam 1.5.18. So he didn't understand that everybody's predestined a certain amount of happiness and a certain amount of distress, and you can't change that by your endeavors. He didn't have that knowledge. You know. So therefore, he was jumping, trying to get these grapes, you know, not realizing that there's no way. They're out of his reach. It was just not meant for him to have those grapes. Okay? Now, why was he so foolish? Why was that? I mean, foxes are supposed to be, they have the reputation of being very clever and sly, right? Fox, yeah, sly as a fox. Yeah, that's the expression, sly as a fox. Well, he was covered. He was covered. His knowledge was covered. And that's explained in the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, why that happens, how that happens. Avritam jnanam etena, jnanino nichavairina, kamanupena kuntaya, dusparena nalenacha. Avritam jnanam etena, that thus the wise fox's knowledge, or living entity's knowledge, is covered by his eternal enemy in the form of lust. Blinded by lust, he couldn't understand what was going on. That's what Prabhupada's, you know, it's being described here in this verse here. One who has no eyes to see the future, they're blinded. Lust blinds him. You know, when the living entity is influenced by lust, his real knowledge is covered. And then, and what makes it even worse is that the next part of that verse, kamanupena kunteya duspurena nalena cha. You know, it's not like the living entity at that point can say, well, okay, I'm blinded by lust, I don't understand what's going on, let me just... No, you're driven. The living entity is driven. Because, why? Because he's got to go for... I'll have to back up a teeny bit here. The nature of the living entity is he's always after happiness. You know, I think it's Vedanta Sutra says, anandamayo biasat. So we're always after happiness. Okay? So the living entity is wanting that happiness and not understanding his actual position when he's covered by this, you know, illusion because of his lust. Then he can't understand that happiness is can only be actually experienced when he's in spiritual life. You know, how does that go? Sukham adyantikam yatad buddhi grayam atindriyam. That explains in the Bhagavad Gita, 6th chapter, text 20 to 23, that real happiness is experienced by transcendental senses. You know, that a person who's actually self-realized, they experience unlimited happiness, right? But grayam atindriyam, with transcendental senses. Not what these Prabhupada used to refer to as the blunt material senses. You know, these blunt material senses are not going to enable us to experience happiness. And so therefore, it's just, you know, going to always be frustrating. So the problem is the living entity is always wanting happiness, and in ignorance, he's trying to find that happiness by enjoying these blunt material senses, and it's just destined to be a failure. You know, until he understands sarvo padivanir muktam tatpavar tena nirmalam rishikena rishikesha sevanam. That's the line. Rishikena rishikesha sevanam. Bhakti ruchate. The living entity has to understand that the satisfaction of the senses, the happiness comes by engaging in the senses in the service of the master of the senses. You know, rishikena rishikesha sevanam. Then bhakti ruchate. Then devotional service is experienced. Then the happiness is that we're hankering so much for, that the living entity is hankering and desiring, is experienced. But until that point, it's a lose-lose situation, basically. He's got to struggle very hard and even fight. He has to struggle very hard, and he has to fight so many innumerable other living entities, right, to acquire and secure a pleasure which doesn't even exist. Imagine you're fighting like anything, you know, and then you win, and the thing that you're fighting for is not even worth having fought for. That's what's going on in the material society. You know, because ultimately everybody wants to be the supreme enjoyer, right? That's, you know, that's we're here because we wanted to imitate Krishna. Well, Krishna's position is he's the supreme enjoyer. So ultimately, everything, all gross and attempts for gross and subtle sense gratification are part of an attempt to become the supreme enjoyer. So, first of all, how many supreme enjoyers can you have? I mean, just assuming that even one person could become the supreme enjoyer within this world. It's only one, is because it's a superlative degree. Supreme means is a superlative degree. So you can only have one, and of course nobody can become the supreme enjoyer. That's an illusion in and of itself. Only Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. But even if there could be a supreme enjoyer, there can only be one. So everybody else is not going to be that one. Anyway, so they're fighting over something that they can't get, you know, and it doesn't work. It's, as I said, it's a lose-lose situation. So getting back to our friend, the fox, you know, sometimes I, in my quiet moment on Sankirtan or something, I think, whatever happened to that fox anyway? And of course, we'll probably never know. But one thing I do know is if that fox was fortunate and got a little prasadam, in his next lifetime, that fox will take a human body. In 1975, in Atlanta, Prabhupada was asked by a devotee, Srila Prabhupada, if someone takes prasadam even once, is it true that they're guaranteed at least a human body in their next life? This was Prabhupada's answer. He said, yes. You go on simply eating. That's all. And there was some laughter. 1975 and still 30-something years later. All of my devotees, they have come to me simply by eating prasad. He said, you also, talking to the devotee who asked the question, and there was some more left. He said, so we give all facilities. If you cannot do anything, please come and eat with us. He said, then Prabhupada said, all right, thank you very much. So if that fox was fortunate, if that fox was fortunate and he was able to come upon the remnants of some picnic that the devotees had or something like that and take a little prasadam in the net, he will take his prasadam grapes, maybe. Krishna will fulfill his desire and give him a human body in his next lifetime. But of course, it doesn't end there. It doesn't end there. It's not enough just to take the human body. Then that fox, he has to come to Krishna consciousness. So how does that happen? How does that work? Well, very simple. You know, in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, text 61, Krishna says, Ishvara sarva bhutanam hridayeshe arjuna tishtati. I'm seated in everyone's heart. No, sorry, wrong one. Krishna says, I am seated in everyone's heart, and I'm directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as if on a machine made of material energy. So Krishna's in the heart, and he's directing the wanderings, you see? So Krishna knows that fox is out there. He's got his human body now, and he's out there. You know, he's still in ignorance. So Krishna will direct a devotee to come in contact with that fox and give him a book and offer, give him an opportunity. See, so the devotee will come to that fox who's now in the human body and he'll go, hey, and then from within, Krishna will go, hey, here's a nice book. Why don't you take this book? You should get this book. You should read this book. You know, Krishna will give him some encouragement and then it's up to him how he uses his free will. But that's where we come into the picture. See, because Krishna, we're the instruments. You know, we'll have, just like he's giving that fox, an opportunity to further engage in service in the same way, it's an opportunity for us to further engage in service. That's how, you know, Krishna operates like that. Just like, had a nice experience, not yesterday, but a week ago Sunday, we went into this, is Madhu here? Madhu, yeah. We went into this, market, Al Mercado. It's, Boyle Heights, very Latino, Hispanic area. And we were going shop to shop. So what happened was we were going in there, and this one man, this explained to us later, he saw us and he picked up that we looked like salesmen, you know, that we were people coming around to try to sell something, whatever, to the actual storekeepers, not the customers, not the shoppers who were walking around. So he said he purposely came outside his shop. And he was just standing around trying to look like, you know, one of the shoppers, the customers, so we wouldn't approach him. But somehow or another, I walked right up to him. I just walked right up to him, you know? And I did my normal, you know, lines. I complimented on his hairstyle, and I said, well, you know, like, I wish I could do that and that type of thing. Anyway, so, you know, and I showed him the book, and then he just, when I handed the book and I put it in his hands, he looked at the book and he went, he did like a total double take, a classic double take, you know? And then he looked at me, and he looked back at the book, And he said, I can't believe this. I said, what do you mean? He said, I can't believe this. I said, what? He said, I've been looking for this book for 2 months. I've been looking for this book for 2 months. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, I was in some marketplace in Juarez or something. You know, he was describing how he was in some place he saw it, and then he had the opportunity to get it, but he decided not to, and he regretted it. And now for 2 months, he's been looking for the book. I said, well, here it is. It just came to you. I said, but what? Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita. And he says, I can't believe it. I says, no, it's easily understandable. And I opened to that verse in the 18th chapter, text 61, and I showed him. I said, I wrote to him, see, here, it says, the Supreme Lord is within everyone's heart, and he's directing the wanderings to the living entities. So he could understand that you wanted the book, and he just directed me here to give it to you, you know? And he was very happy, took the book, gave a really nice donation. So, you know, that's how it works, that Krishna has his people out there, that he wants to get books, and he's also got people out there that he has no objection if they get books. And that brings in another aspect of it. It's not just that it's all up to Krishna. It's up to us, too. In other words, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's 4th canto, chapter 29, text 46, in a purport, Srila Prabhupada says this. And this is, you know, further explaining how we come into the picture, where the devotees come into the picture, our role. He says, a pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always thinking how fallen conditioned souls can be delivered. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, influenced by the merciful devotee's attempt to deliver fallen souls, enlightens the people in general from within by his causeless mercy. See, so, you know, we fit in the picture there, too. The more we become like this pure devotee that's Prabhupada's talking about here, you know, who's always thinking how the fallen conditioned souls can be delivered, then Krishna reciprocates with that. You know, the more Krishna, the supreme personality of Godhead, influenced by the merciful devotee's attempt to deliver fallen souls, enlightens the people in general from within by his causeless mercy. So that's the formula. That's how this movement's going to spread. You know, we have to try to become like Prabhupada. Actually, this is what we just heard here, is Prabhupada was describing in this little couple sentences I read here, how he spread the movement, because he was a pure devotee. And he was always thinking about how the fallen conditioned souls could be delivered. And then Lord Krishna reciprocating with Prabhupada's sincere, like anything, desire, you know, to deliver the conditioned souls, he enlightened the people from within by his causeless mercy. Yeah. So, you know, if we follow in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada and also try to become pure devotees, then the same thing will be there. Krishna will reciprocate with our desire. You know, our always thinking of how to deliver the fallen conditioned souls and our desire to, you know, our attempts to deliver them. And he will enlighten the general populace from within by his causeless mercy. Now, somebody might say, well, okay, but, you know, I don't feel like that. I don't have that desire. I mean, it's just not there. Well, my response to that is just like, you know, we practice sadhana bhakti. Sadhana bhakti means you don't feel it. At least right in the beginning stage, you don't feel it, but you just do it. You do it. You do the practice. You get up for Mangalarti. You chant your rounds. You come to the class, etc., right? And as a result of practicing sadhana bhakti, at some point, the bhakti kicks in. You know, the sadhana part fades out, and the bhakti part kind of kicks in, and you're in. You're really feeling it. You're actually, Prabhupada describes in the Nectar of Devotion, you know, you're enthusiastic. You're looking forward to getting up early the next morning to see the deities and chant your rounds. And you're getting a taste. You're experiencing a pleasure by doing that. So in the same way, initially, we might not feel any compassion for the fallen conditioned souls or really have any desire at all. We might not be very concerned about their spiritual welfare, have any compassion or have much of a desire to go out there and engage them or deliver them. But by doing it, by just, you know, sadhana sankirtan, just like the sadhana bhakti, you know, sadhana sankirtan. Just by doing it, by just practicing, you know, just going out there and doing it anyway, whether you feel like it or not, then at some point, as a result of the purification that will occur by engaging in devotional service in that way, that those feelings will naturally develop. They'll awaken from within. They don't have to. It's not a super imposition. Just like Prabhupada would always quote that verse: "Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sabhu Kabinaya Shravanadi Suti Chitte Kore Udaya." Pure love for Krishna is lying dormant within the heart of every living entity. It just has to be awakened by the process of hearing and chanting. So, in the same way, this compassion,
this, you know, this desire, this concern for the spiritual welfare of other living entities. It's part of that love for Krishna that's lying dormant within our heart. It just has to be awakened. And the process for awakening it is none other than sadhana bhakti and going out there and doing it. You know, going out there and actually performing sankirtan. And then that'll be awakened. And the actual going out there, that's part of the whole package there. You can't leave that out of the picture. We actually have to go out there and, you know, try to, you know, approach these people and make an effort to engage them in devotional service. And that's a very powerful part of the process. Prabhupada, on different occasions said to be very quickly recognized by Krishna. You know, that's our objective. That's our goal. You know, you stop and think about it. What are we doing? All these things. We want to be recognized by Krishna. So Prabhupada said to be not just quickly recognized, but to be very quickly recognized by Krishna. Preaching is the shortcut process. So it's a very important part of the process of sadhana bhakti, you know, the whole package, so to speak, of becoming purified and becoming advanced. So on that note, you know, probably everybody's aware how amazing how the time just kind of flies by when you're sitting in this seat. Everybody's probably aware of how the up in San Jose, they've been doing this festival, monthly Sankirtan festival, for a few years now, and they're doing pretty well with it. I was told by Parameshwar Prabhu that last month, in their one weekend event, they did as many book points as what L.A. Temple did for the whole month. Yikes. But anyway, we've also, you know, been warming up. We've been kind of gearing up to do something like that here in Los Angeles. We've had a couple events over the last couple months where we went out and just kind of tested the water. We had, you know, some devotees at legal spots, and it worked out well. And now we're kind of in a position where I'd like to take the next step. And the next step, I think, is that we do it here with as many devotees, temple devotees, as possible. Now, there's like, see, up there in San Jose, they have a little different situation. They have no temple devotees. It's Vaisheshika, his wife, and they're all basically congregational devotees. So, you know, there's no, like, full-time temple devotees to go out. But here we have full-time temple devotees. I think it'd seem a little bit funny to, if we just start canvassing among only the, you know, the congregational members come out one day a week and, you know, most of us are not doing it. I think it's good that a lot, as many devotees from among the, you know, group of devotees here participate. So basically what we're going to attempt to do is do like a World Enlightenment Day once a month, one Saturday a month. And I know that conflicts with the Harinamas, but we're prepared to work out a deal. We'll work out a deal with the Harinamas so that if they come out on there on the one day book distribution monthly festival, we'll, you know, in exchange we'll participate in the Harinam, so both programs will thrive. And basically we're organized. You know, we're organized. We don't have a lot of legal spots. That's still sort of like a weak point. But we've experimented enough with this shop to shop in you know, certain neighborhoods, and you know, we know where these neighborhoods are. We know how many there are. We've performed repeated experiments in these areas, and it's good. And we're confident. We have Bhakti Ravi as a living example here. He just started Sankirtan a week or so ago, and he's, you know, regularly going out and doing like 10, 20 Bhagavad Gitas and getting, you know, good, the appropriate amount of Lakshmi. So we're kind of ready to go. And the next event is scheduled for June 20th. So we'd like everybody to put that on their calendar and, you know, meditate on it over the next couple of weeks. And hopefully, please be prepared to participate. That one day we'll all go out on book distribution, and then hopefully that'll work out. And then the next phase will be, after we do that a couple times, then we're going to start, simultaneously we'll start recruiting members of our congregation, which we're already doing. And we'll try to get it, you know, what's happening here is what's happening in San Jose. Whereas once a month we could have one day where we have a lot of devotees going out. A lot of devotees who, you know, here, like from the temple, and a lot of devotees from our congregation. And we could do something huge like what they're doing up in San Jose. That's a nice, you know, way in which our Sankirtan can develop here. And one thing is, we have an advantage in one sense, because I'm, after doing some research on the internet and, you know, looking up I don't think any of you can see it here, but we have actually the best city in the United States. I won't say the world because I don't know, but I'm confident, I'm convinced that Los Angeles is the best city in the United States for book distribution. I don't know if you could, how good your eyesight is, if you could see from this is a map, and it shows the distribution of Latino Hispanic population in the United States. Can you see from there? Okay, you can see from there. I don't know if you can. You got 20/20. You can probably. Anyway, it's. You notice how there's like a whole like this big tower here on the West Coast. We have 1/3 of the Latino Hispanic population in the state of California, and half of that's right here in the LA area, within LA County, LA, Orange County, San Bernardino, and a little bit of Bakersfield. There's over 8 million Latino Hispanic persons. The reason I'm mentioning them is because they take books very easily, and that's one of our objectives is to get the books out. Of course, we'd like to see people become devotees, and somebody might say, well, you know, you've been doing this for a year now. How come they're not coming to the temple? But nobody's coming to the temple. I mean, I've been doing this for the last year. True, they're not coming to the temple. But for 35 years before that, I've been distributing to all the white Caucasian people, and they weren't coming to the temple. So it's not easy to get people to come to the temple. We're working on that. There's different ideas that people have been making me aware of that to help that as a means to that end. But in any event, the books go out, and these people are local. You know, we know where they are. If we want to, we can go and cultivate them and like that. So we're pretty well. This is the best city in the United States for book distribution. And we'll just end on this note here, where this is something that we should all be concerned about. You know, somebody might be, you might be hearing this class and thinking, yeah, this is nice, the book distribution hype again, but that's not my service. You know, it is. In one sense, it's everybody's service. It's everybody's service to, to be thinking about how the Krishna conscious movement is going to expand, and book distribution, it happened to be one of the three really important programs Prabhupada gave us for that purpose. Of course, Harinam and Prashanam distribution are the other two, but Prabhupada did place a lot of, I probably could go as far as to say special emphasis on book distribution. Anyway, here's an interesting statement, general statement about how we should all be concerned about preaching and the spreading of the movement. This is from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. I think it's Majjhalila Volume 8. It says, Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that the position of a Vaishnav can be tested by seeing how good a touchstone he or she is. And that is, by seeing how many Vaishnavs he or she has made during his or her life. A Vaishnav should be a touchstone so that he or she can convert others to Vaishnavism by his or her preaching. I'm trying to be politically correct here, but I'll just read it as it is. Please, you add the her or the she as appropriate. It says, there are many so-called advanced devotees who sit in a secluded place for their personal benefit. They do not go out to preach and convert others into Vaishnavs, and therefore they certainly cannot be called sparshamani, advanced devotees. Kanishtha Adhikari devotees cannot turn others into Vaishnavs, but a Majjhima Adhikari Vaishnav can do so by preaching. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised his followers to increase the number of Vaishnavas. Last paragraph, it says, it is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's wish that everyone should become a Vaishnava and a guru. Following the instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his disciplic succession, one can become a spiritual master, for the process is very easy. One can go everywhere and anywhere to preach the instructions of Krishna. The Bhagavad Gita is Krishna's instructions, and therefore the duty of every Vaishnav is to travel and preach the Bhagavad Gita, either in his country or a foreign country. This is the test of a sparshamani, following in the footsteps of Narada Muni. So, as we can understand from this instruction here, it's everybody's concern. You know, we all should be thinking along these lines. How can I become a sparshamani? You know, how can I become a devotee who's able to, inspire other people to become devotees? Okay, so I'll end there. Anybody have any questions or comments? Parameshwar Prabhu.
Vaishesh Guru's whole theme is it's best for you if you distribute books for your spiritual advancement. And of course, it's best for them out there if they get Prabhupada's books as well, because they get a chance to jump on board and get purified. And right from the very beginning, anybody that's new there, you know, he gives them a few CDs, and one of them is a video where he's basically promoting Sankirtan in book distribution. And so the whole theme of the entire temple is we distribute books. That's what we do here. And everybody that joins becomes involved in some way or another. And it's a really ecstatic mood. They have a little tiny temple, but that temple is packed in very huge bhakti factor. So I just wanted to share that in helping to make more success like that in other temples as well.
It's part of like the introductory job description. You know, a devotee, when people come, they go, okay, well, what does a devotee do? You know, what does it mean to be a devotee? What does a devotee do? Well, a devotee chants Hare Krishna, a devotee takes prasadam, and a devotee distributes books. They include that. Here we have a devotee chants Hare Krishna, a devotee takes prasadam, and then does this nice things, you know, helps out and does this, serves in this way and that way. But, you know, we have to maybe add that to our perspective there, you know, just a part of what a devotee does is, and every devotee distributes books.
Yeah. Om just told me to mention something. Their temple is about the size of this whole room. You take maybe a fifth of it. That's the size of the whole temple, or a quarter of it. That's really the whole size of the entire temple. They had 150 devotees go out on book distribution on this at this time.
Yeah, it's only once a month, but still they get, you know, and it's developed. It's, you know, to the point where we mentioned last month they on their one weekend they did as many book points as we did in the whole month. Anyway, so as I said, I'd like to try that. I hope
I just also wanted to mention, inspired by Sachin Noy, how Lokanath Maharaj says that when Prabhupada was here, the devotees got the first half of what Prabhupada said is go out and distribute books, and the other part is to actually read the books. And that's one of the big thrusts behind devotees being able to go out, because the whole temple there is so saturated with hearing and chanting that it's, you know, after a certain point, devotees just, that enthusiasm spills over. And naturally, they want to share it with others. So I just wanted to mention that also, that like when I lived up there for about 8 months last year. And whenever there was a festival, the Vaisheshas would call me every time and ask me how early I could come to the temple to hear and chant with them. And we'd just go there and we'd hear and chant for hours and hours and hours. Hours until like the next temple program started, and so all the devotees are immersed in that mood also of course, you know, getting the inspiration to go out and distribute the books from intense hearing and chanting.
We'll have to specially request Dravida to come up once a month and help us with that aspect of it, because nobody, but does everybody think it's a nice idea? I mean, is it something you think, you know, we'd like to see happen here in New Dwarka? Hopefully. Okay, anybody? Archdipu?
Thank you, Prabhu, for a very nice presentation. As you've so aptly pointed out, this is running on inspiration, personal inspiration. Our Krishna consciousness is always very personal. So Srila Prabhupada was obviously the first person to inspire Krishna consciousness here in America. But it has to go on by people, persons. So in San Jose, Vaisheshika is that person. He's personally taken charge of spreading Krishna consciousness in that area. And here in Los Angeles, that's kind of somewhat missing, because there's no one person here that inspires everyone. So to have that same mood of inspiration here, you need to inspire the inspirers. In other words, if Lokanath Maharaj inspires a certain section of this community, then we really have to ask him to always stress the book distribution. And if Radhanath Maharaj inspires another section of the community, then we have to ask him to always push the book distribution. And that way things will increase. And not just the book distribution, as has been pointed out, the hearing and chanting also has to be there. Because if you read Prabhupada's books, then naturally you want to have something to do with them. You know, publish them, distribute them, etc. So the inspirers have to be inspired to always push distribution here in New Dorket. That's where it's come from. Because, you know, you've been saying what you're saying. This is not something new. You've been saying what you're saying here today for years. And still it hasn't really jump-started to the point that you'd like to see it. So, obviously, you're inspiring certain individuals directly, like Bhaktar Rabi and others, but those who inspire the rest of the community need to be inspired to push distribution at all points, all times.
Yeah, well,
otherwise, it just sputters. Because they'll feel, okay, I'm following Radhanath Maharaj, and, you know, I'm inspired to read his biography, and I'm inspired to hear his lectures and stuff, but he's not pushing me to go out the door, so, you know, I'm not going to jump on that bandwagon. So the inspirers have to be inspired to inspire others to do what you're asking them to do.
Yeah, well, from this point on, let's ask them. I mean, I've been reluctant to kind of do that up till now because I didn't really, we had a, you know, places for the devotees to engage. I mean, I know it's, you know, Venice Beach is hard, Santa Monica is hard, but now we have a forum. You know, now we have spots, basically. We have a way which any devotee who's chanting 16 rounds, following the four principles, and is willing to go out.
The spots are always there. I mean, Mother Karuna, for instance, she's been going to local businesses. I don't want to say because she doesn't like to share her spot so much.
Mm-hmm.
But not so far away, something within 5 minutes' drive of here. For years, not something new. She's just been going to hardware stores and this and that and asking permission and setting up in their parking lot. So the spots are always there, but the devotee needs to be inspired. And where does that inspiration come from? When you give a class like this, we all walk out saying, yeah, but by, you know, breakfast time it goes down. So you need to find those who are permanently inspiring the community. You know, our congregation is a little different from San Jose. They live quite far away. Some of them come from Orange County and, you know, Diamond Bar and places like that. So they're not, like, so close to the temple. But if they're inspired by people who inspire them, Gopal Krishna Maharaj, Radhanath Swami, Lokanath Swami, if these Swamis inspire them to go out the door, they'll do it. But they haven't really been pushing that so much. They come once or twice a year and say a few words, but if they made it a regular thing to stay after their section of the community and tell them, yes, you must participate in the once-a-month book distribution, then it will happen. Otherwise, you know, a few good classes, people have been inspired for a few minutes, and then it just tapers off again.
Well, you're the class organizer. That's what you're inspired to suggest that to them. Let's work on it. Let's try to make it happen. I think we should end there. Granturaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.